Last week we started talking about the king and the kingdom and what our king has done for us. This topic of this message is, where is the kingdom? Okay, so we have a, I don't think I gave a title last week, but this week we'll, I'm getting back in the swing of things. I've been, you know, I had that little respite of 5 weeks, 6 weeks of not preaching, so I'm kind of like out of, but I'm getting better now. I have a title this week. And last week we talked about what Jesus did when he died. He went to hell. He preached the good news to all those who believed in Messiah. And then when he said, exit stage heaven, he took everybody that believed with him. And now they are seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. Amen? But that wasn't all that he did. All those who believed after he ascended are also in heavenly places. And so what we have to understand is that if you are a believer, not make believer, a believer in Jesus Christ, you are already seated in heavenly places. And thereby, if you are seated in heavenly places, our citizenship is now in heaven. We have no longer a citizenship here, nor should our allegiance be here. We do not do the same things as the world does. We do what God tells us to do and what He shows us to do. Amen? And then one of those simple things was I stressed a little strategy that God has given to the church in order for us to build successfully in our lives. And these were just five things I picked out that would help us become successful. They are the beginnings or the foundations of leading a successful life in Jesus Christ. Yes, Madison. All right. She's in tune. God bless her. Today, what I wanted to do is, I want to ask you, where is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? Have you ever asked that? Where is the kingdom at? We hear about it. We hear preachers talking about the kingdom of God. We hear the preacher saying you got to be a kingdom-oriented person. We got tapes that we're selling about the kingdom, CDs praising God about the kingdom. We got all this stuff about the kingdom, but where is the kingdom? Does anybody know? Besides me. Oh, Jesse, you read my message. Turn to Luke 17, please. Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. And once again, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come visibly, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." As I've asked this question today, some of you have even asked yourselves or heard people ask about the kingdom. Where is the kingdom? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He became king over your life. And because He's king, His kingdom comes with Him. You can't have the kingdom without the king, nor can you have the king without the kingdom. And as I explained last week, that a king is a sovereign, a mere sovereign, who rules over an area. And that area that our king rules in is our whole life. He not only rules out of heaven, He rules our physical existence here in this universe. And it behooves us to learn how to tap into this. And I proceeded last week to get you to start thinking about where you are seated. You are seated in heavenly places. Yeah, we're stuck here in these physical bodies, but our spirits are now communicating with God the Father who is in heaven. That's why we pray. We talk to Him. We find out what it is that He wants. And as we sit and spend time with Him, all of a sudden something glorious happens. Like today when I was in worship, all of a sudden God just exploded in my spirit and I could see Him and I was just filled with awe and He's just so breathtakingly beautiful. And just, you know, it's just awesome. He's so cool. And He loves us so much that He wants us to experience the fullness of Himself and His kingdom. And what happens is we don't want to experience that because we got salvation. Man, that's all I need. I need salvation. But yet, We are now looking at signs and wonders and things all around, and we're asking, is the kingdom coming soon? Is Jesus coming soon? And that's what the Pharisees asked. They said, yo, dude, when's the kingdom of God going to be here? And Jesus said, you know, you can't see it. This kingdom is impossible to see. You can't see it. And that tells us that it's invisible. If you can't see it, it's invisible. Or you're not looking for it, and you're blind. It's one of those two things. It's either invisible, which it is because it's spiritual, and you need to have your spiritual eyes open to see it, or you're blind to see the manifestation of the kingdom is already here within us. You see, when Jesus came and rose from the dead, and we received His finished work on the cross for our transgressions, He now took residence within our spirits. Amen? Amen? And all that the King is, and all that the kingdom is, dwells now in me. The fullness of the Godhead, Paul says, the fullness of the Godhead now dwells in you. That the power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead now dwells in you. The fullness. God didn't just say, well, you know what? I'm only going to give you a half a tank, Ed. Madison, you're so small. I'll give you a full tank of the kingdom. And Dory, I'm sorry, but you know what? There's no high test for you. You're going to have to get the lead at brand. And Sean, I'm sorry, but you know, there's nothing for you, buddy, but a couple drops. God didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said that the fullness, everything that the kingdom is and all that He is, now is in you. But where are you? Seated in heavenly places. Where's the kingdom? In us. Where's the potential of the fullness of God? You can't see it because you already are. The kingdom of God is already in you. What you need to do is learn how to expand your spirits now. It can't be listening to all these guys on TV and saying, just send your checks and I'll pray for you and God will work a miracle for you. I just need a $1,000 pledge to help the poor orphanage down in Haiti because we're building and doing and extending God's kingdom. I make fun of these guys, but how many thousands upon thousands of believers get caught up in these guys? And I'm not saying that their ministries are not important. What I am saying is the most important ministry is the ministry of your local church. And when you're not involved in your local church and you're not tithing to your local church, you're giving to these ministries, there is no accountability as to what they do with their funds. And I just happen to be one of those believers that if God says He's going to do something, He's going to also supply it. He's also going to take care of it. You don't have to go around begging God's people for funds. God's people, when they see and understand, give. Isn't that the story of Israel? When Moses came down and says, look, we've got to build this thing, this temple and all this other stuff. I need you guys to give. Did they say, well, here's $5. Catch me on a better day. The word says, they gave. And they gave. And they gave. And they gave until Moses says, whoa! Too much! Stop. Hold on here, dudes and dudettes. I got plenty here. When God talks to us again, we'll take up an offering. People today are asking, where is the kingdom? Where is the showing of Jesus' second coming? Where is it going to manifest? How is it going to manifest? And Sean and I were talking the other night about things that God was speaking to him and speaking to me about the end times. And I said to him, Sunday, I will tell you something that's real important for us to understand as believers. We are not to be looking for signs and wonders. We're not to be looking for a sign that the kingdom is coming, because the kingdom has already come. It's here. It came when Jesus came 2,000 years ago. And he left it deposited in each and every human heart. And he's coming back for his kingdom and his people. Because he is not going to leave what is his in a world that he is going to destroy. It's just not going to happen. A lot of things are happening. You know, this nation is falling apart at its foundations. And yet, it has the gall to say that it is a Christian nation. People are doing whatever they feel like. And the Bible says in those days of the judges, when there was no king, people did what they wanted to do. They didn't do what God said to do. God's supposed to dwell in us. The kingdom is in us. The king dwells in us. But when we act uncomely, when we lust after a woman who is not our spouse, or a man who is not our husband, we are in total violation of the kingdom. When we start relationships that should not be, and God says, your relationship with me should be priority number one, we're in violation of the kingdom. And that's what's happening in this nation. We are lying to ourselves, those of us that are in the church, leadership, we're lying to ourselves that everything's hunky-dory, and we're not telling the truth to God's people that you're in sin. Because after all, I don't want to hurt your feelings. After all, you're tied into this ministry, and I need your finances. Well, you guys know me well enough that I'm going to insult you before I insult God. And I fully believe that God's going to take care of this ministry. I am going to tell you the truth according to God's word. And it's hard to hear truth. It really is. It's hard. But you know down deep inside that you want to hear the truth. You want to know the truth. And we know that Jesus is the truth, the life, and the life. He is the king and the kingdom, all wrapped up in one. And he wants it manifested in us first. Everything that's wrong with us is wrong because we have wrong thinking. People don't want to read the Word of God because that means that God will hold them accountable. Well, God's going to hold you accountable no matter what, whether you're reading the Word or I'm preaching it to you. You are accountable for everything that you hear. And because you don't implement it into your life, does not abstain you from judgment from the king. Because doesn't the Word say that? One day we're all going to stand before him, and we're all going to give an account as to what we did in our lives, good or bad. And for us to conduct ourselves as the world, not showing some reality to our lives, is really spitting in our king's face. He died for us so that we could live for him. Divinity came from heaven so that we could be like him. He became like us to relate to us. And we in the church don't want to relate to him. And that's what the Pharisees were. They were caught up in religion. They were looking for signs and wonders. They were looking for things that had no pertinent meaning to it. Yeah, it's important. When you're driving down a highway, you got to know where you're going. Right? If you can read the signs, you know where you're going. Your destination in Atlantic City is approximately 30 miles away from here. As you go down there, you see the sign. You're going in the right direction, 20 miles, 10 miles. And all of a sudden, you get this sign. Pedro's. What a whopper you are, south of the border. He's like, where did that come from? I must have made a wrong turn. You caught it. That's good. All right. It is. It is funny. I like those signs when I'm going south of the border and buying all my firecrackers and stuff. Yeah, I do that stuff too. That's all that this life is about. These are signs showing us where we are going in a path and how close we are to the end. The question I want to ask you is the kingdom dwelling in you? Does it? And the way I know it doesn't is I look at your lives. The king has told you, I need you to do this. And you say, I'll get to it Tuesday. And Tuesday comes, I'll get to it Wednesday. There's no importance. Jesus isn't asking us, he's telling us. He's the king. He has every right. And when we don't do what he tells us to do, it is only his mercy of retribution for our disobedience that keeps us from getting punished. And the church has to understand, Jesus is out there preaching a message, and his mother come with his brothers and sisters, and they go, oh, Jesus, look, there's your mom and your brothers and sisters. And what did Jesus say? These are my brothers and sisters, those who do the will of God. Are you doing what God's told you to do? Manifesting the king and the kingdom within your own life. You see, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he told us, he says, I'm not going to leave you guys orphaned. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and the Holy Spirit's going to take up residence next door to you. Right? That's what he said, right? No, that's that New American Version. Holy Spirit, come to my neighbors, because I'm fine. Now, what he said was, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of eternal judgment. And then when you get right, he's going to come and dwell with you. And he's going to dwell in you. See, the fullness of the Godhead can't separate itself from the kingdom because they are one and the same. And I don't fully understand the Trinity. I profess, I've looked at it, tried to understand it, and the further I look to try to understand the Trinity, the more confused I become. So I don't try anymore. And any theologian who says that they understand God is a liar. Because it is impossible for my finite mind or their finite mind to understand an infinite God who is able to do above all I could ever ask or imagine. And thereby, his people who are satisfied with just the crumbs of the kingdom are afraid to ask for what is their inheritance, the fullness of the kingdom of God. What has God said to you that he has said to you over and over and over again, and you're just not willing to do it? You see, when we become obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, potential is now manifested into my spirit. I make a plan for my life. God begins to work that plan out according to his will. And when I'm walking in those things, God all of a sudden throws these pop quizzes into my life and says, okay, we're going to flood the basement out. I'm going to see how you're going to respond to that. And I responded by, oh, it's cold and it's deep. But it can't get any worse than this. And then I open up the door and it's a blizzard outside. And I'm like, yes, it can. It is worse than this. And I don't need this baloney, God. But not my will, your will be done. I wasn't a happy camper that day, pumping out all water for 3 days. I felt like I was in a tomb, and then all of a sudden, on the third day, the sun came out, and I went, oh, praise God, I rose from the dead. That's what I felt like. I'm not proclaiming to be Christ. If that is, you guys need to leave. There's only one Christ, and he dwells in me and in you. You see, I don't look for signs of where the kingdom is. I know the kingdom dwells in me. And what I do is I listen to what he says. I am in his word. I want to know him. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me his ways. Why? Because one day, as I leave this classroom or this planet, I'm going to be there. And I better know my stuff. And so do you. Because what's predicated on you knowing him and knowing your stuff is your rewards at the end. You will either be a pauper or very wealthy in the kingdom. And we have to understand that what God has prescribed for us is wealth unbelievable. Privileges unbelievable. Authority unbelievable. But we don't have to wait till we get there. We can appropriate them now. 11 men This is how amazing that the kingdom is and the power of the kingdom. 11 men in less than 60 years turned the world upside right. Turned the world. 11 men. And if you look at how each man died, they each died a cruel death. Peter was crucified upside down. We know that, right? Paul was beheaded. James was executed by that. But did you know that Matthew was filleted alive? That meant his skin was pulled back. And it would not stop until he renounced Jesus Christ as king. And he would not. Bartholomew took and went to India with the gospel and was skewered, shish kebab, for the kingdom. Are you willing to live for the king and kingdom? You see, this is what's coming on the church. Are you going to be able to stand in the face of certain death proclaiming that, you know what, you can kill this body, but you cannot kill my spirit or my soul, because as I exit this tent, I am going to be with the Lord. Are you sold out for that? See, unless you're sold out to the king and the kingdom, you are groveling in the excrement of this world, which is less than what God has prescribed for us. He told the disciples, you're always going to have the poor with you. Get used to it. Get used to it. You are destined for so much more than what you can think about right now. There is a destiny for each and every one of us. And the world says that it's just trivial. It's not that important. How many know about Mother Teresa? How many of you know that she came from a very wealthy family and became a nun and lived her life serving the poor and indigent in India? Primarily her ministry was to those of leper colonies and to the poor widows who were cast out with children, because when their husbands died, the families didn't take care of them. They threw them off. And she took care of them. And how many of you would believe that in that impoverished state, she is highly exalted because Christ was glorified through her life, and even the Hindus were being converted because of the love that she demonstrated to their people? And yet we sit back and say, I can't do that. You know, Pastor, I just can't do that. I can't go on a mission field. I can't do that. I don't have this. I don't have that. But we're wasting all the monies and resources that God has given to us on trinkets instead of what God finds that is important and wealthy, and that is each and every soul that He has created. See, there's people that have the kingdom dwelling in them that don't know that the king dwells there, because they're waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ so that their spirits can be enlightened again. How many people have God said to you, I need you to go tell this person about me? And we just go, I haven't been trained to do that. You know, I didn't go to Billy Graham School of Evangelism. I don't know how to speak to people. Well, can you speak to me? Yeah, Pastor, but you know the Lord. I can talk to you. Well, you can go talk to them. Anything holding you back is wondering what God would do with you as you're sharing your life of what God has done with you. See, that's your testimony. Acting like some sort of heathen and calling ourselves Christian makes God a liar. You see, you have His very DNA running through your body. You have His very spirit that has reignited you, regenerated your spirit, has made you alive. And all that the kingdom is, as far as you can imagine, God is that much more. Whatever dreams that you have in your heart, God has placed them there and wants them to come forth. There's nothing stopping you from manifesting the kingdom but you. Doubt and unbelief is the greatest killer in this country. And Americans in this country have so much doubt and unbelief, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Why is it in a third world country that people have undeveloped resources, don't know where their next meal's coming, God is moving tremendously. And in this country where we have every convenience, every luxury, everything that money can buy, God's not found. Why? Turn with me to Matthew 7. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. This is Jesus, our King, speaking. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Jesus is the only way that we can access heaven. Jesus said, "No one can come to the Father except by me." Right? He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Right? Now I'm going to give you a real simple lesson of how to plug in, to start tapping into the potential of the kingdom that is already resident within you, waiting to come out. If Jesus is the way and the truth, and the kingdom is Him and Himself, doesn't it stand to reason that we need to have a relationship with Him in order to access stuff? But we're like beggars and we're, "Oh Lord, I need this. Oh God, I need that. Oh God." When the reality of it is the stupidity of our understanding of how immense God is. And I'm included in this, guys. I'm only half a step ahead of you. That means I've tripped up a half much more times than you guys. Okay? But I've learned one thing. I've learned to go to Jesus or to God or whoever you want, the Holy Spirit, whoever. They're all the same person. I don't go to Mary. Okay? Sorry for my Catholic friend. Mary's just not part of the Trinity. She's not God. She just had the privilege of bearing God into this world. That's it. Okay? It's an honor, but that's all she gets from me. That's all there is. Jesus said there's two ways that a person can walk this world. Two ways, two gates. The first gate is wide. You open up the gate, and then there's a vastness of where you can walk. You can do whatever you want in there. You can do whatever it is. You can have pleasures on top. Happiness. And sex doesn't fix everything. Drinking doesn't make you a man, nor does having babies make you a woman. It's just a product of a relationship. That's all it is. What you do in the midst of those relationships define you as that person, whether you're a man or a woman. How you handle those things. Jesus said, those who are in the wide area will live for themselves. They will do what they want to do, not what I've asked them to do. And in the end, when they stand before me and I ask them, "What did you do?" because I already know, they're going to be really sad to find out that they're going to the lake of fire. They're out of here. Because that's what's destined for all those. See, I don't believe once saved, always saved. I believe you're only as saved as your relationship to Jesus Christ, and your relationship to Jesus Christ is predicated on your obedience to do His will. If you're continuing to lust in your heart, if you're continuing to curse out things, if you're continuing to be stingy, if you continue to live a life of loving yourself more than you love others, you're in trouble. You're in trouble and need to repent. But Jesus said there's another way. He said there's a way that the door is small and it's narrow. It's the way, but it leads to life. Small means, in its context, its size, but it also means that it's unbecoming. It's something that people just pass by. There's nothing in there. But he says, once you open it up, there's a path that is narrow, which speaks of the restrictedness of our life. We are not to be like the world. If you want eternal life, you must conform to what God wants, not what the world wants. And the closer that He comes to take us out of here, poses great threat to you who have not conformed into the restrictedness of being a Christian. Paul says, all things are expedient, but not all things are good for me. You know where I stand with drinking? You know, I don't have a problem with people drinking. As long as you don't get drunk, that's like a skunk. How's that glorifying God? You see, because you carry the king and the kingdom with you everywhere that you go. It's like Israel with the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God with them. And they carried it everywhere that they went. Into battle, into setting up camps, into eventually building the temple and placing the ark in there. He was in the midst of them. Christ is in us, our hope of glory. But if we continue to live our lives like the world, how is God being glorified? How is it that our disobedience is going to reap blessings? How is our disobedience going to reap good things in our lives? It won't. You know, when I became a Christian, I had all kinds of problems. My marriage was falling apart. We were looking for a divorce. Two children. Rolled my car down the embankment, compact size. You know, it was a Flintstone mobile, what I called it. It was one of these Mustang 2s that looked good but didn't have any pep. I could run faster and it could go. At that time, now I can't. It'd probably go a lot faster than me now. But one thing I learned, that when I rolled that car over, I found what was important to me. I wasn't a womanizer. I wasn't really a heavy drinker. I used drugs, sold them, manufactured them. I was it, you know. I made money and I did all that stuff. And I've seen stuff and did stuff that you guys would think that you're pastor. But you see a product of 23 years of walking with God that has changed my life. And because we've filled with this lie of instantaneous gratification, instantaneous change, instantaneous this, you know, we're an instant society. God doesn't do things instantaneous. He does things in His own time to His perfection for us. We need to surrender our lives. That means every aspect of it. We need to seek His kingdom. We need to repent of those areas where we've been disobedient to God. We need to get flat on our face, because you know what? We can have an attitude of indifference, because it's a me, and nobody cares about me except me, and I can't wait till I'm out of here, because me, myself, and I are going to book out of here when I turn 18. And people got to realize that when you turn 18, the world gets even more vicious, because you see, mom and dad's not there to protect you anymore. You want to be 18, you want to be all grown up. All the protection is gone. We want all the perks and privileges of the kingdom, but we don't want to do what our Father has asked us to do. And He withdraws His protection. He lets us suffer what we do. He loves us so much that He'll let us suffer to the point of bringing us to our knees to finally go back and make right the mistakes that we made. It's only two ways for us, guys. It's a wake-up call, because God is going to continue to put us in the change cycle that has been going on, because He wants an obedient people. He wants a people that have learned to surrender themselves to Him and do His will. If His will is to be the best dad and mom, be the best dad and mom. If His will is for you to be in leadership, then do everything that you need to do in order to allow God to promote you. You're not going to be promoted because I see all these good things. You're promoted because God has spoken to me about what's going on in your life. And your life has to be right before God. There's no seniority. There's no union. It's God and what He wants. And what He wants is the best for you, that His church can come out of the muck and mire of this world and begin to glow and shine like the beauty that she is, so that when He comes, He sees her and He takes her out of this. And then we can go to the wedding feast without spot or wrinkle, because we know we've done what He's called us. The question here is the kingdom dwelling in you? If it is, then your life needs to change. Can't be put on hold any longer, because the end is almost here, folks. We need to change. We need to tell people what's going on here. We need to tell them, you know, what God's doing in our fellowship. We need to tell them what they're doing in our lives. We need to tell them the truth. But the truth has to start with you. You have to stop lying to yourself that everything's hunky-dory. The truth is you're lazy and don't want to change. That's the truth. That's the truth. And God does not reward slothfulness or disobedience. He punishes it. I exhort you today, begin to start thinking with the minds of heaven, and begin to start laying out a plan for your life to get out of the muck and mire that you're comfortable in, and start seeing the glorious plan that God has for your life. You might not think that being a pastor is all that, but I'll tell you what, it's so rewarding to see people's lives change. And I didn't ask to be a pastor. Believe me, I didn't. All I was happy about was getting inside the door and happy with my salvation. I was fat, dumb, and happy. I really was. And then I realized that's only opening up the gate to go through. Choice is yours. Next week, we're going to learn how the enemy comes to keep us feeding on the crumbs of the kingdom and not sitting at the table. Amen? Father, I just rejoice in You, Lord God. I thank You, God, that today You've given us a point of which we can understand that the kingdom dwells in us. That You dwell in us, God. The fullness of the kingdom dwells in us. And there is a tremendous potential within us waiting to come forth. It is a spiritual potential that manifests itself through our lives, God, and draws people to You, Lord. You are a magnet, God, for those who are hungering and thirsting after You, God. I ask that You forgive us, God, for being so selfish and self-centered. I ask, God, that You convict us, Lord, of those areas where we need to be convicted. I ask, God, that we repent and get right before You, God, and begin to walk this thing out with You, Lord. There is much work that has to be done. There are many people that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But first they need to see it active in our lives, God. God, I ask that You forgive us of our slothfulness and irresponsibility, Lord God. I ask, God, that You lead us to those who are a better example than what we've we've been watching, God, and really encourage us to be more than what we could ever ask or imagine in a dream, God. God, I just pray that you bless your people as they recommit themselves to doing this work, God. That people would get saved. That the kingdom would grow exponentially in the hearts of your people, God. And that Jesus Christ would be manifested and glorified through our lives. I ask that as we go forth from this place, God, that you continue to work in us, God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.